Good morning. Sanderson Ford Country here at Rosie on the House. And we are going to be inviting in Sanderson Ford.
You're good, Rosie.
Oh, I know that.
We get all excited talking about Sanderson Ford and all the great deals and the great cars that they have there. Sometimes we go, I can't talk.
Rosie's in the pilot seat, and fat fingers can find the wrong buttons occasionally. But in dealing with the topic of vehicles, how can you deny all of the different vehicles Ford has come out with that have just been headline-busting vehicles the last 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
The Mustang.
Raptor.
The Raptor, baby. The Ranger. The Mach-E. Mm-hmm. And now the Maverick pickup. Have you seen any on the road yet?
I actually have seen a couple, yeah.
I saw one last week.
Yeah, I think I've seen two or three now.
This is a headline from the Detroit Free Press. The test driver that took it all over Michigan says, initially, I thought the gas gauge may have been broken. No way could I imagine driving as much as I did and not see the fuel level drop. There's an insatiable demand for this pickup. The Little Jim won the 2022 North American Truck of the Year. It's roomy enough to carry four passengers, 33 miles per gallon on the highway, 42 in the city.
Wow.
Now, that's counterintuitive, isn't it? So the Maverick, the newest pickup truck being manufactured by Ford Motor Company, can now be had. It is the next vehicle Ford has created that is going to be headline busting for months to come. An incredible vehicle. Go take a look at it. I saw a beautiful little gunmetal gray one running down the road the other day.
I saw a white one recently. It was very kind of little work truck. It just kind of struck me as a, if you had not a lot of equipment, if you could do something pretty small, it'd be the perfect little work truck. Really save you a lot of money driving around Phoenix.
Starting price of $20,000. Yeah, brand new. Yeah. How about that? So if you're in the market for a high mileage, great little workhorse pickup truck, the Ford Maverick may be just for you. And if that's the case, I can't encourage you enough to get to Sanderson Ford in Glendale, the most award-winning Ford dealership in America. I haven't bought at another dealership in over 40 years. 40 years ago, I walked on the lot and bought an F-150 used, and I've never shopped anywhere else. If you're shopping vehicles, shop Ford. If you're shopping Ford, get over to Sanderson Ford. Chances are, like the hundreds of other people I've sent over there, you'll call me and you'll thank me. Sanderson Ford in Glendale, open Monday through Saturday, always closed on Sunday. Boy, we had an exciting event a couple weeks ago. The Register of Contractors held what was called an apprentice fair down at Chase Ballpark in conjunction with the Diamondbacks and the state of Arizona. And they had contractors and trade associations assembled on 4th Street outside the ballpark, and they bussed in high school and veterans who were interested in entering the construction science field, construction science technology field. And it was incredible how some of these schools that were bussed in brought these kids so well prepared. They were well groomed. They'd walk up to your booth. We were there with Rosie on the House and Rosie Wright Remodeling because we're hiring and we'd love to get somebody young that hasn't developed any bad habits yet and teach them just the way Bruce does everything. And they'd walk up to you, look you right in the eye, introduce themselves, stick out their hand, shake your hand, and hand you a resume. It was awesome. While we were there, we had the chance to talk to the head of the apprenticeship program at Grand Canyon University.
All right, this is admissions manager, Mr. James Jackson with Grand Canyon University. Now, people know Grand Canyon University, local private Christian school, and you guys have been around since 1949, grown quite a bit. Talk about what the school right now is predominantly known for.
Well, right now the school is predominantly known for our nursing programs as well as our science programs. We feel like we're the leader in the aspect of nursing and, of course, our sciences, but we're also now growing our university into the trade industry.
And that's what we want to talk about today, because I walked by your booth and I see electrical pliers and outlets and things that you don't normally associate with a major university, and you guys are opening a trade school.
Correct. We have a pre-apprenticeship program for electricians, which starts this fall. We're currently accepting students into that opportunity and partnership with Rosendon Electrical Company for that reason. So we're very excited about it and here today to partner with them and show our first offering of us partnered in that aspect.
And talk about Rosendon. Is that in a major electrical company here?
Major electrical company, been around for about 100 years. If you know anything about electricians or electrical operations on the industry side, it's probably coming from Rosendon or a similar company.
And so the ideal outcome is the students come to Grand Canyon University if they're interested in a career as an electrician, and they get a job placement at Rosendon right out of the apprenticeship.
Correct. After one semester, they will be prepared to go into the pre-apprenticeship program and then, of course, move forward into journeyman and so on.
And what kind of revenue does a journeyman start with coming out after one semester?
After one semester, we're looking at about low to mid $50,000 a year, with that only going to be compounding year over year with the experience and, of course, the opportunities that we have here in Phoenix for electricians, where we're currently experiencing a shortage of electricians for all the growth that we have going on.
One semester, $50,000 starting job. What kind of tuition fees does that semester come with?
That's the great part. None. So this is a fully funded program, and there are no fees involved unless there's other fees that you feel you have to contribute to this, but this is a fully funded program.
So how do I sign up?
Good question. Visit gcu.edu, and we'll have the information there shortly.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that. And we are going to be in a hiring mode in the construction science technology field for decades to come.
Oh, yeah. It's been the shortage in skilled trades is not a new thing. That's been going on for years. And it's just, from what I can tell, you know, from talking to our trade partners, and it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. So.
All right, we're a call-in talk show. We try and bring you information pertinent to the home improvement industry like that. We know a lot of technicians and tradespeople are out there listening. We'd like you to know that if you'd looking to make a change in your career, take a look at the service providers on the Rosie on the House referral network. You'll be dealing with the best of the best, and I don't know any in the Rosie on the House referral network that aren't hiring right now. If you'd like to join the conversation with a question about your house, give us a call at 1-888-767-4348. Let's go to Stephen online and see how we can help Mr. Stephen, who's been very patient. We appreciate that, Stephen. How can we help?
Yeah, thank you. You solved one of my plumbing problems. Now I have another one.
Okay, all right.
I have a sink that I keep smelling the sewer gas coming up. And that's the only place in the house that it's doing it.
Okay.
And the sink is not leaking.
Well, let me ask you this. What plumbing problem have we solved for you in the past?
Okay. I called in about air and the hot water line. And you said there had to be a leak somewhere,
okay.
And guess what? The utility sink was dripping a little bit.
Okay, all right.
And the utility sink is cement, and when there's water on the cement, it's a different color than when there's no water on it.
All right.
And I just happened to turn the light on And the light went down into the sink, and oh, that's dripping. So you solved that horrible gremlin for me.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, Stephen. How long have you lived in this house?
This house was built in 1951.
Okay, great. Now, this odor problem is new. It hasn't something you're not haven't been dealing with for years.
Well, the first thing I... The tube down from the sink had to be replaced.
Okay.
And then the trap had to be replaced too.
And that's been done recently, and has the problem been created since that work was done?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're narrowing it down. A house built in the 50s. Does this house have a pitched roof?
Yes.
Okay. And the ridge on the pitched roof, does it run north and south or east and west?
The ridge, east and west.
Okay. And is this bathroom on the north side of the house?
No, it's on the south side. It's in the garage.
Okay, we've just eliminated about four things right there in that series of questions. If it's only been created since this new P-trap has been installed, I would go and I'd go under that sink and I'd look at that installation with a real jaundiced eye.
Yeah, it just for it to have happened after the trap has been replaced just makes you wonder, you know, because there should be water down in that trap that's preventing that sewer gas from getting in. So was it installed properly? Is it sitting at the right level to stop all of that? Because sewer gas can't get by the water if it's in the P-trap properly. So
I've actually seen where in the installation of that or a toilet, a piece of material that wicks the water will actually be sitting down in the P-trap and be drained over the high point of the P-trap, and it actually wicks the water in the P-trap into the drain, thereby emptying the P-trap, allowing the water to come in. I'd start with taking that P-trap apart, rinsing it out real good, making sure it's nice and secure, putting it back together, and start there. If we've got a problem beyond that, we're going to have to do a bit of investigating as to why the new P-trap is causing this dilemma. Check it for a piece of cotton or a piece of thread, something that's wicking the water out of the trap and taking and causing it to dry out. Well, again, Gary sends us another stinky call.
Yeah, but it was not toilet related.
Well, yeah, okay, all right.
It was sewer related, though, Gary.
Now, we're trying to get through the information of what newbies to Arizona should know. We talked about the fact earlier in the hour about it does rain in Arizona. I think one of the most important things newbies need to know is monsoon rains are nothing to ignore.
No.
Especially driving through running water.
Yeah. You know, every big storm we have, it seems like you see a story about, you know, even big trucks, you know, they decided to drive through the wash. There's a barricade out front. They drove around it and, you know, what they think is just 6 inches of running water because they're not familiar with the area. They don't realize, you know, the Scottsdale Greenbelt is a perfect example.
Yeah.
That thing gets deep.
It can.
Deep.
It sure can. It does. When it does exactly what it's supposed
to. It
does.
That's what it's there for. And you get, if you drive into that, you're getting rescued, which leads into that. You know, a lot of people don't realize we have a law that most of us call the stupid motorist law.
Correct. Yeah. And you should look it up.
You
right
should.
Now.
You should. If you knowingly enter one of those things, go around that barricade, and the fire department, the sheriff's department, somebody has to come and rescue you, you might end up paying for it, which most of us who have been here long enough and shake our head when we see it don't have a problem with that. So.
It's expensive enough that when you do it the first time, you're probably not going to do it again.
I would hope not.
Yeah. I mean, in the 1970s, when we were having 100-year floods on a regular basis, I had a little Jeep CJ5, a little Buick 345, and it was a great little rig. And I sat on Shea Boulevard with a tow strap, and I made good money pulling cars all the way through, coming in from Fountain Hills that wanted to get into town. Me and a couple of buddies would just sit there and wait for them. So, stupid motorist law. If you're new to Arizona, get to know it.